Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I am doing well. For everybody listening, it's the 11th episode of It's a Code World, and we're talking about how to use email to supercharge your marketing efforts today. And the basic things we're going to be chatting about, tools to get started with email right away, why pay attention to email in 2016, is email's effectiveness dying, or how's that doing? Pro tips for getting, for not getting unsubscribed from, for not coming across as spam and staying relevant, and best things on the topic that we've read lately, and what does the future of email marketing look like? So, Daryl, who works at a email marketing automation company, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I work at ConvertKit, which is the new email marketing software for anybody who's serious about making money online. So what ConvertKit is, email service provider, we focus specifically on two main things, having automations and then segmentation on your list. So really exciting. I've been here for about 6 months. We have some of the coolest customers. We're a super fast growing company, and it's a really exciting time to be in email marketing.
Awesome, man. How did you get started in all that? Talk to me a little bit through your story the last year or so from, because the last time I was talking to you, I think you were at Storyline.
Yeah, so.
So like, how'd you get swiped from them over to ConvertKit here?
Yeah, so actually, it's all kind of started when I was sitting about 15 feet away from your desk at my desk in Minneapolis. Yeah. And I was running an online magazine. And the crazy thing is, we had a lot of readers, almost like 300,000, 250,000, 300,000 people a month reading our magazine. But we were freaking broke, man. Like, just broke.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we lived in this little tiny studio apartment. I drove this old beat up Toyota. And it was horrible. And I was putting all my energy on social media. So I was trying to get more Twitter followers. I was trying to get more Facebook likes. I was trying to get more people on Instagram. I was focusing totally on social media. And I got a call from a friend one day. His name is Jeff Goins. He said to me, "Hey man, I see how much you're struggling over there, and I see that you're broke. You need to start building your email list, because the only way that you'll ever make money online is having an email list." So that was really where the journey began. So I doubled down. I stopped focusing on sending out tweets and getting more followers and building my Facebook page. Although those things are important in their own right, I really was focusing on building revenue. So I started building my email list. So I worked for, I did work for quite a few like bloggers and authors, trying to help them grow their email lists as well.
Funny, just real quick, just to kind of like touch back and, you know, slow down your story a little bit here. It's funny how much, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on attention. You're talking about owning this very busy blog though, and that attention didn't mean money at the time. So it's just, I think that's interesting. It's a precursor to the rest of your story here.
Yeah.
Just having a very successful blog, but it's like, if you don't have the money-making side of it down, then it can be a little futile.
Yeah, and we like literally closed it down because we weren't making money. So what do we do? Like I was spending 40, 50, 60 hours a week on this business that was making no money.
Yeah.
So we started building the email list, and then we built a product. So that was the next phase of that before I started working for other authors and bloggers. We built a product, and that product was helping authors write their first book. So we had all these writers, people who wanted to tell their story on the website. And so we helped people write their first book, and boom, we made like $30,000 in a week. It's like, okay, that makes sense. But we had done this with social media before and fallen flat on our face. So that was really the beginning of it. And just kind of dug into that more and more and more over time. And everything, like all of my revenue or my clients' revenue the past 2 years has been 100% linked to an email list, period, hands down. Client, lead generation, sales of ebooks, courses, conference attendees, like anything that we did or my clients did, all of it was tied back to the email list, 100%. I just realized that, you know, everything, like business is about making money at the end of the day. Marketing especially is about making money at the end of the day. And I spent a lot of years spinning my tires doing lots of work in marketing and not getting a result to a dollar, right? So I'm doing all this work on Twitter, all this work on Facebook, all this work, and nothing. Like there was no money connected to it. Until I started digging into email marketing, that was the first time where my efforts connected to a dollar amount. And I could see that the amount of energy that I was putting into it equaled an amount of revenue on the other side. And that was really important to me. So
it's fulfilling.
It is, right? Like that's the whole reason we do business. I know that there are a lot of people who have hobbies. My hobbies don't have to be connected to a dollar. Like the things I'm passionate about don't necessarily have to be connected to a dollar.
Yeah.
But in business, like what I do has to be connected to a dollar or I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. So let's get started with some tools. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Let's give them a little flavor here at the beginning. Some tools to get started with email marketing right away. And I know you're gonna present a little bit of an alternative here to this one, but MailChimp for me has been good. Use it for segmentation, and I'd have different lists and can do some drip campaigns on that. I know that you have some other some tools that can. Kind of that as an alternative there, but Boomerang, which to me is, it's related to email. It's not email automation necessarily, but it's Boomerang is, I think it's put out by HubSpot, but essentially it's when somebody, you can essentially track your email. So when somebody opens your email, you see it pop up. So if you're like pitching to somebody or whatever, you can see, okay, they opened it.
Yep.
And then potentially reach back out if it's appropriate, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then you've got a couple here.
Yeah. So I use ConvertKit, which is the company that I work for. I've actually used MailChimp. I used it for many, many years. It's actually not a bad tool. ConvertKit would kind of be like the next level of email marketing from MailChimp. So we have some actual automations there and we have a little bit deeper segmentation. In ConvertKit. So there's lots of cool things. I could talk about ConvertKit for hours.
And you're going to get to for sure for part of this.
So we'll dig into that a little bit later. The other tool is LeadPages. So I focus on helping people grow their email list. It's one of the things I talk about a lot. And one way to do that is through opt-ins, like ebooks or white papers or some sort of gift videos. Webinars, things like that. So there are tons of different ways you can do that. And LeadPages gives you a really easy way to build landing pages that connect to email service providers like ConvertKit and MailChimp. And it's awesome. So you can really easily build lots of different opt-in pages with LeadPages.
I'm a little sore. My buddy actually just joined LeadPages from our agency. So.
Oh, really?
Lead pages. They're great. That's next level stuff that's going down. And obviously it's a cool opportunity. So he's joining as a PPC manager over there, but that's miss
awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. They're also a Minneapolis based company. So that's really
cool. They love that.
Yeah. We love lead pages. We actually just released a direct integration at ConvertKit with lead pages about a month ago. And we're really excited about that because we really love lead pages and everything that they do. So those are the two tools that I use the most, is ConvertKit for email marketing, automation, and then lead pages helps with that lead generation process.
So why pay attention to email in 2016?
Man, I think we just hit on it. Like social media is awesome. And social media actually does serve a purpose for me back to email. Also, we use social media quite a bit for customer service and things like that. But like, if you are a business owner, like, and you're doing anything online, like email, that's it. That is seriously it. There's like no other strategy right now that is working the way that email marketing is working. And I have a friend, and I think we'll talk about him a little bit later, but you know, like you can read these like internet marketing stories, like these guys who are like, I made $1 million in 3 days from my email list. And it's like, okay, cool. But that's not real life. Like I have a guy that I know here in Nashville who was working at Chick-fil-A. His job was working at Chick-fil-A in fast food. They were having a baby and he wanted to kind of transition out. He built a small email list, 250 people, created a quick course, launched that course and made $10,000 from that course the first time he launched it.
How much was his course, by the way?
His course cost, I think, $200 maybe.
Yeah.
So he like he did a really good job, you know, and that $10,000 like allowed him to quit his job at Chick-fil-A to then start an online business. And so like, this is like real life. Like that's success, you know, $10,000 in a month, that's success for most people.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like, I don't know a lot of people who work a regular job and make $10,000 a month. Like that's a good salary.
No. Yeah. That's good.
And so email marketing allows us to have that kind of interaction and build that kind of business. And social media just doesn't do it, man. And I've been there. Yeah. I spun my wheels for years. Like I remember only having like $20 a week for groceries, and like crossing my fingers that certain bills wouldn't come at the same week. And like when I was starting my business, social media was the strategy that I had for it. And once I started focusing on email marketing, it just changed the whole game. So the reason you focus on it is it's the only strategy for serious revenue in 2016 for online businesses and online entrepreneurs.
Well, I will counter that, and I don't mean to be an iconoclast here or whatever, but or a contrarian, I should say, but search engine optimization.
A little
search in there.
I don't disagree with that, but all of those things then point back to email marketing.
Yeah.
To me. So search engine optimization, social media, all of those things then point to an email marketing strategy for me. Because without the ability to capture the leads from SEO or social media, like you are so much less effective. And so we'll talk 100%. About that. We'll talk about that a little bit later too, I think, about why I think that.
Is the effectiveness dying though? Because if you think about it, like back in the prime time, let's go 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, you've got an email open rate, conversion rate that was unfathomable for somebody today. You know, not just versus social, but just insane levels of interaction. You know, people talk about like 80% open rate and things like that. Obviously it's less now because we're bombarded with an insane amount of, you know, email, social, all this stuff. So is the effectiveness dying? And
I think it's not dying. I think dying is the wrong word for it. Email marketing is less effective today than it was 10 years ago when you talk about things like open rates. But I would tend to say that it's more effective in other ways.
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, I was afraid to put my credit card number in the internet. And today I'm not.
Right?
I remember like having my mind blown the first time I bought an airline ticket online.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second, like I'm really gonna spend $600 online right now? Like that's crazy. Like I hope nobody steals my credit card. So I would say that it's less effective in like, yes, we get way more emails, we get way more social, but I would say it's more effective because we are just so used to email. We're so used to it. We're so used to interacting with it. Like I check my email 100 times a day with my cell phone, and it's a normal part of my routine. First thing I do in the morning is I check my email on my phone.
Yeah.
So I would say it's now become a more normal part of life for people. And I would say it is the most effective because it's the only way that I have direct access to my customer.
The only 100%. And it's funny. I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about, you know, back to this whole dichotomy between social and email. One thing I'll say is, you know, if you're sending out a tweet to the world or a Facebook post to the world, there's no obligation to respond by any of your followers. Obviously, it's not very personal, things like that. But an email, of course, you're gonna look at that almost for sure, unless you've got it in your spam folder or whatnot. But if somebody is determined that you're valuable and your content is valuable, then you're going to look at that for sure. But then I will say, just to kind of give the counterpoint here, is like, sometimes it's like, if I'm really trying to get at somebody, like as a one-to-one thing, if I send out a tweet randomly to somebody, like let's say somebody that's generally untouchable for me, like because they're like a big time person, whatnot, they'll often respond on a tweet because it's like in the public eye. It's like, hey, you know what I mean? It's just so clearly public that sometimes I think you, I mean, just, you know, kind of bringing it in back to kind of comparing those two, there's just different times that they're more effective. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's different scenarios that you're talking about.
Totally. And I definitely use social media for like building those connections like that. But when we get back to like the focus of marketing is about revenue, right?
Yeah.
So in revenue stances, like I've never sent a direct tweet to somebody asking them to buy something from me.
Yeah.
Like that relationship doesn't exist.
Absolutely. I'm thinking more like content, like roundups of experts or like, I'm definitely not thinking of things that are revenue oriented, this relationship.
So in the space of marketing, I mean, I still use social. I mean, I told you as we were getting on here, like I'm revamping my LinkedIn profile because apparently LinkedIn is making a comeback here. Who knew?
It just got acquired by Microsoft.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. But to me, like with my customer, it's the best way to have a one-to-one relationship, which is what marketing is ultimately all about. Like marketing is ultimately all about one human connecting to another human or one brand connecting to a human. And even the more you can personify that brand, the better. So it feels like a human to human connection. So that to me is like, it's really the only way, because if you think about it, like if I'm starting a conversation with you, Tim, like social media, I put it out, but social media is a never ending stream. Like it's constantly moving. So if I put something out to you, like in 5 hours, it's down river, you know, it's downstream. Email, even though it could be downstream, it's static because it's held in an inbox, right? So even though you're kind of getting a stream of things moving in, like it's not a flowing stream. So like if I send you an email, like you either are going to ignore all of your emails or you're going to see my email. You know, like you're not going to like...
That is one strategy.
Like
that actually is a strategy that could...
So I think it's...
The ignoring all the emails thing.
I've done it before. I actually had a friend who had 25,000 unread and just said, all right, I'm changing my password. Never logging back into this again. If you really need something from me, like you'll know that I have a new email address. So I definitely get that.
So we have established for sure that email is effective, email is important, email is relevant, more relevant than ever in certain cases, especially because people are willing to actually do transactions online at almost everybody's comfortable with that these days. So from that point, let's think about strategies. You know, what are some strong considerations people should be utilizing when they're implementing email automation?
Yeah, so the first thing I would have is an onboarding sequence. So a lot of people don't do this. A lot of people will just have like the automatic delivery of their opt-in. So say you're giving away like a free PDF or a white paper or something like that, an ebook, video, whatever.
Nudes,
yeah. Get these 5 nudes. That would actually be, well, for some, probably not for me, but for some people, that would probably be a really effective strategy. Anyways, they probably just deliver that. They just deliver that incentive, and then that's it. Like that's the only piece of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I always go back to this, Tim. I always go back to this. I'm building a relationship. Like digital marketing, the strategy of digital marketing is just actually not that hard because you just think about building a relationship with an actual human being, right? Like we don't need to talk about email lists. We don't need to talk about Facebook strategy. We talk about how do I connect to another human being. So if I just meet you for the first time and I say, hey man, I've got this cool thing for free. If you do this for me, I'll give it to you for free. I give it to you. and then I peace out for like 2 weeks, and then you get some random like text or phone call from me. Like, that's a horrible freaking way to have a relationship with somebody. So
yeah, I feel a little called up right now for our email list.
So what I would say is I would have an onboarding sequence.
Well, I think we reserved out of like 4 days or something, but that does seem a little weird. But like a little spaced out.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you have like ideas for what the you know, the number of days between automation and like in a kind of a general way?
Yeah. So
for that trickle.
For this onboarding sequence specifically, what I would do is I would have that immediate delivery of the incentive right away. And I would have that happen immediately, like within 5 minutes, or people are going to lose trust with you. Then the next day, I would send an email and say, hey, welcome to whatever, this company, my email list, my blog, whatever it is that you're promoting. Kind of a welcome. And then show them the best content that you have. So like if you've got a blog, like if you've been blogging, if your company has a blog, if you have a blog for your freelancing, whatever, show them either your best work.
If you're not blogging, get out. Get out of this podcast. You're not allowed. No, seriously, no.
Show them your best content.
Yep.
Because there's only one person in the world who reads everything you write, and it's your mom. And so people want to see it. And if they've just opted into your email list, chances are that they don't know you very well. And so show them the best things that you have to offer, whether that's like a portfolio or blog posts or anything. So first thing is the incentive. Second thing is the like welcome email, showing the best stuff on your site. The third thing is share a personal story, like share why the work you do is important to you. Share, get this empathetic connection with that person, right? So share why what you do as a company is important to you. Share why what you write about is important to you. Yeah. Share why you're a designer, or like make like a human connection with them. So I would do that. And then the fourth one I would do is like a call to action. So like buy an ebook from me, sign up for a demo call, sign up for like a free, consultation. That's the word I was looking for. Free consultation. Anything like that. So call them to action. That's really simple. Like, you can build more things, but anybody could like pause this podcast right now, go write those four emails in about 30 seconds. You know, in 30 seconds you could write those emails and then put them into an autoresponder, and now you've got a relationship building mechanism that's a really basic automation that I think is important for
That's value, Daryl. Thank you. Yeah. That's a really good one. I like that sequence. And I like, did you say how, like, if you were to do it ideally, how many days in between you would put between those emails?
Those 4 days, I would do it every day.
Okay.
So because I'm introducing myself to you, I do it every day. And the only thing that I may change is, I mean, this is totally depending, and this is something like I think is important too to know about email marketing, is there's not a rule for everybody. So what I would do is I would try every day and then test it and optimize it. So set it, like I always try to ship things fast, and then I set a baseline and then I optimize it. And then you like do it over again, set a new baseline, optimize it again, set a new baseline, optimize it again, set a new baseline, optimize it again. And that to me is the process of marketing, is constantly setting baselines, constantly optimizing, and just testing, you know? The smartest marketing people in the world aren't actually the smartest marketing people in the world. They're just the people who are willing to like track the numbers and see if things are working.
Yeah.
And then optimize.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I think like, because you got the tracking, but you also have to take the shot first to track.
Yeah.
Some people are like very numbers focused, but you have that initial creative kind of like jolt to then test against. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, set the baseline. I think that,
Absolutely.
So auto segmentation. I'm curious about what you're thinking on this.
So another thing with the advanced onboarding that I think is important. Sorry, you can cut out that little bit. I'm going to start over. I just lost this page. Okay. So with auto segmentation, that's really important with this onboarding sequence, is if you have different kinds of services or you have different types of content that you write about in your blog, especially with a tool like ConvertKit, you can have different link triggers within your emails that will segment them with different tags or put them into different sequences. So here's a good example. I had one client, she has an ebook and she also has a course, but she also does coaching. So there's an obvious progression between an ebook and a course, right? Like buy the ebook first, it's $5, and the course is $75. Mm-hmm. And then coaching is like $300 a month. So there's a progression of products here, but not everybody is going to buy an ebook and then buy the course and then buy coaching. Like that's just not how everybody works. So what we've done is in this onboarding sequence, we have different link trigger automations that say, when they click on, hey, here's an ebook that I wrote. When they click on that link, I can then drop them into a tag or drop them into another autoresponder sequence that then pitches them the ebook. Now, if they buy the ebook, I can exclude that person from a sequence so they're not getting pitch emails after they bought a product. So like I have like, it's just like a lot of really cool behavior-based marketing that when somebody clicks on an ebook or they, another thing that you could do with these top posts is pick one post from each category on your blog. So if you have five categories on your blog, pick a top post from each category. And when people click that link, tag them with the tag for that category. So now you know that they're interested in that specific topic. So one thing, I'll give an example here. Nathan Berry is the founder of ConvertKit. Nathan's blog, nathanberry.com, he writes about marketing and design. Now, not everybody knows about marketing and not everybody knows about design. Not everybody wants to know about both of those things. Some people want to know about both. So he has segmentation on his site where there's a marketing segment and there's a design segment. So what that means is that he'll only send marketing content out to the marketing segment and only design content out to the design segment. So now I'm able to build a stronger relationship with my customers because I'm only giving them the content that I know that is interesting to them, right? So if somebody, and here's another great example, like if somebody, you click on a like a free consultation, if they click on that free consultation, they can get a tag that then puts them into a sequence that can automatically follow up with them if they don't book a consultation with you. So like imagine imagine like not having to think about that, right? Like one thing about growing a business is thinking about scale. And the only way to think about scale is how can I automate things that I do every day? And so booking consultations is a hard thing to do. Like that's what I do for a living actually. So booking consultations is hard and I gotta remember like, oh my gosh, did that person end up booking? Like do I follow up in a week? Like they said they were interested, but then maybe they didn't. So it's like, there's all these things that I have to like hold in my mind at one time. And it's really, really hard to keep all that in my mind. But with an automation rule where they could say, click on free consultation and it tags them into it tags them, which then drops them into another sequence that is a reminder about consultations. Then like it's automatically following up and I'm going to get more consultations in the end without giving somebody a horrible experience. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about now, let's go into some pro tips about not getting unsubscribed from and for not coming across as spam and staying relevant to people, because half the time, you know, there's two different scenarios where this is super important, because it's like half the time people just want one thing. You know what I mean? You had a good opt-in on your blog or your content where they wanted that one thing and now they're in your funnel, but they might be out of your funnel in 2 days. You know what I mean? They could drop you if you send one mildly sour email that they didn't like, or like even just it wasn't matched up with their expectations. So like the wrong segment or something like that. So how do you not get unsubscribed from? I mean, it's funny, you know, a lot of people, and I've experienced a little bit of this, like people like are like, every time I send out an email to my list, I get a couple unsubscribes, and that's not fun. And there's bound to be some of that no matter what. I get that. But how do we minimize that?
So a couple things I'll say first is as long as I am like living in my core beliefs as a business person, I don't mind unsubscribes. Right? Because at the end of the day, I'd rather have the right people on my list than a ton of people who are the wrong people. So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is the onboarding sequence is really important here. So chances are people are unsubscribing from you because they're confused about your messaging. So if I get an email from you that gives me a free ebook and the next thing I get is like some random promotion or some random newsletter, like I'm confused. Yeah. So this onboarding sequence will actually help build a relationship with the customer, like especially if they can have that empathetic human connection with you in the onboarding sequence. So that's another thing I'll say. And the third thing is stop being an ass. Like I'm so sick of getting these emails that are
I need this right now.
Like I'm so sick of getting emails from people who are promising things that they're never going to give me. Like they're they're like don't promise something that isn't real just so you can get more people to open the email. Like that's dumb. Like just become a better copywriter. Don't become like like this chauvin, like this showman, you know? Like just be
expectation really matters. So if you create an expectation, if you don't fulfill on that, that's just one more negative drop in the bucket.
I'm out.
Yeah. You
know, like I'm out. That is like a that is like a trigger. If somebody promises me something or I think it's gonna happen, I'm out. And you know what, like that kind of stuff gets a lot of clicks. If you're trying to like buy, like get paid by ads on your blog, like that stuff will get lots of clicks to your blog. You can get ad revenue from that and make like $30 a month. But like, if you're wanting to like actually build long-term rapport with people, like just don't do that kind of stuff. And I love Gary Vee has been on this kick the last few months about thinking about the long-term. He's like, I'm in this for keeps, man. And that's what you got to think about your business is I'm in this for keeps. So I'm not thinking about some tactic to get more clicks today if it's going to sacrifice my relationship with somebody down the road ever.
I want to think, I love Gary Vee. So he talks about like my kids, I want them to know, I want my legacy to be very clear even to them down the road. If there's like a bunch of, you know, extraneous stuff that I did to get money in the short term, and then they are able to know about it, that stuff, that his legacy in that kind of thinking, I think is, you know, even at a, you know, 1 year from now, if your email is getting you short-term revenue, but kind of making your brand look like shit, just the idea that overall it's about that long play than this, you know, short sugar fixed style marketing.
Yeah,
I love it.
And then one thing that's really practical, and this you can't do in MailChimp, unfortunately, but you can do in ConvertKit, is what I call a soft unsubscribe.
This guy. You're doing good. You're doing good on the little promos here.
It's called a soft unsubscribe link trigger. And so what that means is by far, the highest amount of unsubscribes come from pitch emails. Like if you're pitching a product or a course or an ebook, anything like that. So what I'll do is I'll create a link trigger automation. And at the bottom of the email, right above my unsubscribe, I'll say, I'm no longer interested in hearing about this promotion, whatever that promotion is, I insert that promotion. Click here to unsubscribe. And I have that link. So what that link will do is that link will then add a tag to this person, which then will remove them from any future promotions about the product. Okay. But it won't unsubscribe them from my list altogether. So below that, there'll be the next line that says something about unsubscribing. And I modify that text to say, if you never want to receive any other communication from me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and ever, click this link and I will nuclear unsubscribe you. Which means you'll never get anything else from me. So what happens is oftentimes people are like, oh, great. Like I love the ebook. I love the blog content, but I don't want to buy this course and I don't want to get five more emails about this course. So I'm going to unsubscribe from this and they'll just unsubscribe. But what often happens with that soft unsubscribe link trigger is they'll just click that instead and then just move over. And then maybe in 6 months they'll change their mind. You know, you never know. And so then I'll have some other things that will like have triggers that can re-engage them into pitches and promotions in the future. But that'll be done in like a really soft way that isn't offensive to anybody in any sort of way whatsoever. So that soft unsubscribe link trigger is huge. Or you could even do a soft unsubscribe link trigger that pushes people from like, if you have a weekly email or a daily email, that could then move them to like a monthly digest or something instead.
Nice. I have a little tip that I recently... I read this book called The Conversion Code. It's phenomenal.
and the gentleman who wrote it suggests that many people have two formatted emails in a lot of ways. So like people go to great lengths to make these pretty incredible, you know, email templates that look really fucking unpersonable actually. And he's essentially suggesting, especially like as a tool for like sales teams, as to kind of minimize some of all that formatting, get rid of all this intensity. And like this, even if he's saying essentially, even if you have this gorgeously designed email, it looks just absolutely like an ad. It looks like a billboard.
Yeah.
And it comes to you and it looks, even no matter how good your design is, it might look just too clean actually.
Yeah.
He suggests maybe, you know, stripping it all down, just having a text, just a very simple text email and sending that out, because, you know, you could throw a little personalization tag in there and people in just like, hey, do you need anything? You know what I mean? He actually is like, he's very into these kind of really simple kind of pinging emails for people, mm-hmm. especially as a sales tool, and to, you know, slow your roll on the like crazy intense designs and emails, just because people do quickly catch the drift that that's an ad.
Yep. And so that's at ConvertKit, we actually, our standard is text only emails.
Yeah.
Because we've done so much research that you get higher engagement, higher click-throughs, higher even open rates with text-only emails. And again, Tim, if I'm going to send you an email, like I'm not going to spend an hour designing out this pretty email and then send it over to you. Like, you're my friend. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you an email and I'm going to write like I'm an actual human being. I'm not going to write like I'm like some copywriting guru trying to, like, I'm just going to write like you're my friend and I'm going to send you that email. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to do two more little things and then I'll get, and then we'll get back to the expert here. But two more little things that I've seen that have been cool with email lately. One is this tendency. I've seen people do this and it's weirdly effective. It's just that story, like telling a story in the email and then like really short paragraphs or just one line at a time. And they'll just, they're really kind of spacing out their text for you. And then they're like, this funny thing happened to me this past Tuesday. I was walking along in the city, you know, in the streets of Baltimore. And I came across, you know what I mean? Like they do this like very specific situation that happened to them. And then they work in like, I you know, the things I subscribe to have to do with digital marketing a lot. So then they give you some insight and then they're like, do you want to know how I, you know what I mean? Like they, it is essentially kind of a pitch or they're, you know, moving you along in their funnel a little bit, but they start and the whole email is around the story and they give value away in that email, in that story. And I found that that's like, to me, that's like huge. If it's a story and you're giving me a chunky piece of value in the email, like that's a huge positive for this person's brand whenever I see something like that. And yeah, just the way that they're doing copy blocking with like the very short paragraphs or short lines, I found that to be cool. And then the other one that I really like, and this might go against the slim formatting thing, but on the other hand, I've seen people using GIFs a lot and I really like it because I just, you know, obviously funny shit. I love a nice funny GIF here and there. So,
yeah, for sure. We actually, we actually use them quite a bit in our emails and then also in our social media, because it's like, again, it goes back to that human touch. Like it's funny, like I'm being a human, like we're connecting, like we're having a lot of fun.
Exactly.
I really like it.
I love that. Anyways, before we go here, I think we have a couple of things left. And one of them being hardcore email tactics that you have been a part of and that have produced real results. If you have like any case studies or things, you've already kind of given some of this, but if you have any other little stories.
Yeah, so the first thing I'll say is just get a sales funnel going. Like start with that onboarding sequence, have some link triggers then that move people into sales pitches and just get that going, because now you have your, like you have the automations working for you and that's huge. Like that to me is so huge. You just have that kind of going on a consistent basis, because it kind of builds a relationship with the customer where they're at, and they'll kind of let you know where they're at based on the behaviors that they take by either opening emails or clicking on emails, things like that. The other thing that I'll say are content upgrades, man. This has been massively, it's like blowing my mind how this is happening. So a lot of times you'll have like a single opt-in for your site, like this one ebook that goes on all of your blog posts. And that is just so generic. So what I do is I open up my Google Analytics, or I have my client open up their Google Analytics, and I go to their top 10 traffic blog posts. And I say, over the last 12 months, what have been the most traffic blog posts? Even better, if you have lots of SEO or organic search, go to those blog posts, find out which are the top 10 most organically searched blog posts. And then I try to create a short upgrade for each of those blog posts. So for example, mm-hmm. I had a health and wellness blogger that I was working with, and she had a post that ranked number one on Google for a specific keyword. And that keyword was searched like mm-hmm. millions of times a month. So we took that post and we created like four recipes that you can include from the content of this blog post. So it's like a like specific next upgrade. And we went from like having a 0.5% conversion rate on a generic opt-in to a 13% conversion rate on that blog post. So that means that 13% of anybody who's coming on that post was now on our email list. And that was crazy.
That's insane.
And in that one tactic, we grew her email list by 120,000 people in 6 months. That one thing.
My God. That's awesome.
Crazy. So it was like, it was just
I love that.
So to me, that's a really important piece. It's like the more that I can piece.
What was her end? Sorry, just to get a little context. What was her end like money maker? What was her revenue? What is her business based around?
So then what we would do is we'd have these content upgrades. The content upgrades would then each have an ebook that we sold. And each of those ebooks then would have a course that was sold from that.
What are some of the best things that you've read on the topic, and can you share how to find them? And we will link to these in the show notes. timbdesign.com/podcast-11. So yeah, share things that you've read recently.
There's two things I'll say here. One is it's called Email 1K, and it's by Noah Kagan, who's the CEO of SumoMe. That is awesome. Awesome tool. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So Noah also has a site called okdork.com. His blog is really good. So Noah's really good. The other guy that's really good is Brian Harris. Brian Harris has a site called videofruit.com. And Brian also has a course called 10K Subs. And I learned content upgrades from Brian. I've learned a ton of things from Brian. So Noah Kagan, OKDork. And Noah has a free course called Email 1K. And then Brian Harris of videofruit.com, and he has a paid course called 10K Subs, which is really, really good. Those guys are the guys that I've looked up to in email marketing, and those are the things that I'm reading. So you can find both of those things there.
What does the future of email marketing look like? You know, I've been using some things for filtering emails because honestly, I've opted into too much shit, to be honest. And they filter stuff out. Is that gonna mess up these strategies? Are email filtering services gonna make email lists less relevant? Where is email headed?
It's gonna make you less relevant if you're already not relevant. So like if you stand out, it doesn't matter, like filtering tool or not. Like if I want to receive your email, Tim, I'm going to read your email.
Yeah.
So to me, like it's going to make it harder for people who are amateurs, for sure. Mm-hmm. But people who are pros and people who are good at copywriting and good at building relationships with their customers and good at being good fucking human beings, like it's not going to be hard. Because like when Apple releases a new product, like, even if I don't get an email from them, like I'm probably going to find a way to get it anyways. So that's really important to me. It's like, yes, it'll make it harder for amateurs, but those of us who are pro and those who are committed to learning and becoming pro, like I think it won't really matter that much because like you just have to create a brand that people want to engage with.
It comes down to a little bit of the same issues that people are facing on social and stuff like that, especially, you know, with Instagram and Twitter implementing feeds that filter based on, you know, their algorithm and what they think people want to interact with and what's been doing well already. Is the thing of value? Because if it's not, it's going to get filtered and people aren't going to care. And then if it is of value, they're going to make sure that it gets there. So it's like, you can't give away a bunch of value on your blog and other places and then send only sales pitches to email. You have to figure out a way to work that value into those emails so that people want to see it, want to read whatever it is. And for me, it's, you know, figuring out how to get digital marketing tips in there and stuff like that and tools or whatever people actually want to see and being part of that, being the part of the delivery process of that good info.
Been a common theme through this whole conversation, Tim, is like just build a brand that people want to engage with, filtering tool or not. Like if I want to read your email, I'm going to read your email. If I don't really care, then I'm going to use my filtering tool to filter you out, you know. And that's just kind of the way it works. So
anything else that you'd like to talk about?
I would love, if you're interested in trying ConvertKit out, I'm actually going to give the listeners of the show the opportunity to try it out for a month for absolutely free. And you can do that by going to convertkit.com/Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. And you can try it out for a month absolutely free. No risk, just test it out. It's normally starts at $29 a month if you have 1,000 people or less on your email list. But I want to give everybody a chance to test it out because there are some really cool automation tools that you can't do things that we talked about today in automations that you can't do in things like AWeber or MailChimp that you can do in ConvertKit. So if you're curious and want to check it out, you can go to convertkit.com/Darrell. Check that out and try it out for free on me.
Awesome, man. So where can they find us? Maybe your Twitter handle, whatever else you'd like to share on here. So if somebody wants to ask you a question or anything like that.
Man, if you want to ask me a question, just send me an email, darrell@convertkit.com.
Believes in this email thing hardcore.
I do.
Yeah. Philly, you can tweet me at TimBDesignMPLS. We'd love, Darrell especially, would love if you'd rate the podcast on iTunes. And, you know, like I said, the show notes will be at timbdesign.com/podcast-11. And I'm looking forward to, you know, sharing more value with you next time. Thank you so much, Darrell, for being on.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
There's some really good shit in this one, so.
Love it.
I appreciate it.
Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO to work process tips and working with clients.